an unwavering faith. Elder Delbert L. Stapley, Delbert L. Stapley, Conference Report, April 1970, pages 73-77. My dear brethren and sisters and friends, I am grateful for the introduction to my theme by our beloved brother Dunn, who has just spoken. The following scripture from the writings of the Apostle James will serve as the theme for my discourse. He said, "Ask in faith. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Joseph Smith, a modern prophet, had his faith tested as a boy when he watched the members of his family become influenced by the conflicting doctrines the revivalists of his day were preaching. The promise of this scripture prompted him to ask of God. His earnest prayer led to the restoration of Christ's church in this last dispensation of his providence to man. The application of this quote is not restricted. God is no respecter of persons. This promise is open to everyone earnestly seeking light and truth. Seek wisdom. President David O. McKay has said, "Faith is manifested in works, and that is what wisdom is, the application of knowledge to daily life and the performance of good deeds." Wisdom never comes by chance. It requires effort and its source is God. If I were to ask you to name the soul's greatest achievement, I would have you answer wisdom, not knowledge. You may get all the knowledge in the world, but if you lack wisdom, you might be a high-powered engine without balance. Wisdom, then, is putting knowledge to proper use. In these latter days God has admonished his people to seek wisdom, and as all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning, even by study and also by faith, an unwavering faith. How can meaningful wisdom be acquired except by prayer and an unwavering faith? If we find it necessary to analyze, evaluate, and question our faith without end, do we really have faith? Is it steadfast and unwavering? Do we observe the laws of God without measuring their pros and cons? Having an unwavering faith is applying a specific principle to daily living. Let me illustrate. Each person who commits himself agrees, if he has the habit, to give up the use of tobacco. He sees others around him using it and has to be strong in his desire to overcome the habit. So he applies himself to that resolve by sheer determination of will. Later he thinks about the temptation, but he can live next to it and not yield to the temptation. He gains a satisfaction in keeping his pledge, and it isn't a problem anymore. The principle is there. He recognizes it and is able to live it. Finally, with assurance, he says, "What principle?" He no longer has to re-evaluate. It is just the way to live. Examples of faith. There are many references in the scriptures to those having unwavering faith. One is Abraham, whom God commanded to offer up his only son Isaac as a sacrifice to the Lord. Abraham made the preparations, took Isaac to the land of Moriah, built an altar upon a mountain, and was ready to sacrifice him. But an angel forbade him, saying, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me." Another example is the prophet Noah, who lived in the days when the wickedness of men caused the Lord to repent for having created man. The scriptures record, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, through his faithful, unwavering adherence to the counsels of God, and despite the scoffing and ridicule from the people to his warnings of their approaching destruction, Noah and his family won God's protecting power and were the only ones saved from the flood." The apostle Peter wavered in faith when, at the Lord's bidding, he walked toward him on the water, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Darkness cannot be taken into a lighted room any more than doubt can be created in a heart where true faith exists. The wavering soul. The comparison the Lord makes between the wavering soul and the wave of the sea driven with the winds and tossed has touched the lives of many. Most of us have seen the calm seas, and at other times the damage caused when the winds become intense and the waves rise and become powerful, destructive forces. A parallel can be drawn to the buffetings of Satan. When we are serene and on the Lord's side, Satan's influence is not felt. But when we cross over and are deceived by the winds of false doctrine, by the waves of man-made philosophies and sophistries, we can be drenched, submerged, and even drowned in the depths of disbelief, and the Spirit of the Lord driven completely from our lives. These deceived and wavering souls cannot, because of their incontinence, expect to receive anything of the Lord, the buffetings of Satan. Those who have knowingly sinned against God's commandments are tormented by the buffetings of Satan until, through sincere repentance, a forsaking of sin, and the reordering of their lives to the divine will, there is a cleansing of soul and a feeling of forgiveness for their transgressions. Those renewed in faith testify that the period of their sinning was the unhappiest time of their lives. Paying the penalty for their mistakes has strengthened them to resolve with an unwavering faith to follow an undeviating path of righteousness. The trends today are away from gospel teachings. If these trends continue, destruction will result, because God will not be mocked. His judgments are sure to fall upon the wicked. He has so decreed through His ancient and modern prophets. In the midst of unrest, frustration, and increasing powers of evil to violate the principles and standards of the gospel, parents, teachers, and leaders need wisdom and judgment to cope with the disturbing problems that confront the youth of today. Faith early in life. An unwavering faith should be developed early in life. Solomon counseled, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This faith was built into the prophet Joseph Smith in his youth. With all his heart, he believed the Lord would fulfill the promise if he possessed an unfaltering faith and was honest and sincere in his desire to know the truth and find the right way to God. Too many young people are being taught concepts in school and elsewhere that do not harmonize with the teachings of the gospel of Christ. They are encouraged to find out for themselves, to try this and try that. This deviating approach permits looseness and uncontrolled appetites. The Lord has said, "Seek me diligently and you shall find me. Ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." This is different from following the whims of those influenced by Satan and experimenting with injurious substances or engaging in immoral practices. Driven off course. Those souls who waver in faith are driven off course by listening to every doctrine dictated by the agents of evil. They lose the spirit and drift into darkness of mind and often end up as apostates to truth and righteousness. All of us should strive to follow the counsel of Paul. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Our duty is to prepare our hearts in righteousness, forsake iniquity, cleanse our souls of evil, not become beguiled by enticing and flattering words or the vain deceits of designing men who would lead us down the paths of misery to destruction. Man needs God's help. Is man so wise, so vain, and so self-centered that he does not require divine aid? The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, yet man, in his own considered importance and self-sufficiency, thinks he can successfully get along in life without God's help. We must remember that a man can do nothing for himself unless God directs him in the right way, and the priesthood is for that purpose. The self-sufficiency that comes from man's personal development, advancement, and accomplishments in all fields of learning often causes him to forget the source from which all this knowledge is released to his understanding. Mankind cannot forget God and survive. To forget God is to forsake Him, and to forsake Him brings His judgments upon an unrighteous people. For any person, young or old, the only way to learn what is right and to determine the proper course to follow is to ask of God, "That giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not." God wants to help. God does not upbraid anyone who earnestly and humbly seeks Him in faith and prayer for wisdom and guidance. He welcomes it. He is our Heavenly Father. He wants to help us if we will only ask and listen to Him. But in asking, one spirit and attitude must be right to obtain an answer. Faith in God brings peace to the soul and an assurance that He is our eternal Father, into whose presence by prayer we can go for comfort and guidance. The final verse in the topic quotation gives us the description of the person who is likely to waver. "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." To avoid being a double-minded, unstable person, the Lord has designated the path to follow. "No man," He said, "can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." If we lack wisdom and ask with an unwavering faith and with an eye single to the glory of God, we will have a body filled with light that comprehends all things. Anything less than this pales into insignificance. God has not left us alone to face the powers of evil. He has prescribed the way to free us from the stratagems of Satan, the way, the truth, and the life. Don't we all, through the Savior's sacrifice, require His intervention with our eternal Father and His help to achieve salvation, exaltation, and glory? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. I testify there is no other way into the kingdom of God." For the Savior said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Apostle Peter wisely admonished, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, only path of safety. Living the gospel of Christ is man's only path of safety in this turbulent and sinful world. We do have a discordant wavering multitude to whom nothing seems right. There are too many voices attempting to steady the Ark of the Covenant. The prophet Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram sealed their testimonies to the truthfulness of God's latter-day work with their life's blood, which act fulfills a statement of the Apostle Paul to the Hebrew saints, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, for a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. The promise of Jesus: I humbly encourage all listening who earnestly and sincerely desire to know God's will to study the gospel plan of His Son, Jesus Christ, pray about it and put this promise of James to the test. I assure you that God will not fail to give you an answer. The warmth of the Spirit will enter your soul and peace and contentment into your heart. I repeat again the statement by the Apostle James: If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall he given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I humbly pray, my brothers and sisters, that we will be faithful and true to our trusts, walking always in obedience to the commandments. I know the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is true. I know the gospel is true. I know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I know that we are divinely led today and that the Church invites sincere, faithful children of God of all ages and nationalities to come unto Christ and prepare themselves worthily to enter His kingdom. May we all have a desire to do so. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.